Hi, everybody. This is Pam coming to you from the podcast Women Who Stutter, Our Stories. This can be found directly accessible to the blog, Make Room for the Stuttering, and it's also freely downloadable on iTunes. Today, as always, I have the pleasure and opportunity to chat with yet another amazing woman, this time somebody international from across the pond. So I want to say hello, a big hello to Janet. Hey, Janet, how are you today?
Hi, I'm pretty well, thank you.
Great. To get us started with our conversation today, would you mind introducing yourself to us, telling us who you are and where you're from, and if you don't mind, your age, and what you do with yourself?
Sure. Janet Lennon is my name. I'm from County Leash in Ireland, and I'm 25 years old. I finished college a year or two ago, and now I'm working with children in a preschool aged 2 to 5.
Oh, great. How do you enjoy that? That's a tough age.
That's something that I've always wanted to do, is work with children or animals.
So how did you decide between children or animals?
It was tough, but I decided to go with children in the end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What's the most satisfying part of working with young children?
When they're that age, it's just any little thing that you teach them, and when they grasp that, they can do it for themselves.
And that makes you feel good, cause like you're part of that.
Yeah, and you have to remember that they're only very young, so every child develops differently. Mm-hmm. Others pick up things faster, whereas some other child takes that bit longer.
Yeah. You must have to have an awful lot of patience to work with young children that age. Is that true?
Yeah, you need a lot of patience. It's okay this year, though, because all the kids are pretty good, but last year we had one child now that was a bit of a handful.
Only one? That sounds like you were pretty lucky.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're obviously a person who stutters, or stammers, as you refer to it in Ireland, and I'm so excited to be chatting with you from Ireland. I love your accent, by the way. How long have you stammered?
I've stammered since I was about 4 years of age. Mm-hmm. It didn't really become noticeable till I was 6. But I knew from a very young age that I spoke differently to everyone else.
How did you know that?
As a young child, I started to repeat the same word over and over again, and that made me a very nervous and anxious child. But it was just listening to the other kids my own age speak, and I knew that I was different.
What was your parents' reaction?
They brought me to speech therapy from a very young age. But they just tried not to finish my sentences for me, and that kind of thing. But I was in speech therapy on and off from 4 years of age up to 19 years old.
What type of speech therapy were you involved in? What's routine speech therapy available in Ireland?
I'm not too sure of the different types of speech therapy. I was just transferred by my doctor.
I see.
But it would have been a child speech therapist when I was very young, and then more of an adult one as I got older. And they got me to do various exercises and trying to prolong the first sound of every word and stuff.
Well, if you don't mind me saying, you sound wonderful as we're chatting. So it seems pretty obvious to me that you found some type of therapy that's been successful for you. What seems to have worked the best, especially now that you're a young adult? What's worked for you?
I did my first course in the Maguire program in the UK back in 2008. It's a 3 to 4 day very intensive course, often 15 hours a day.
Wow.
I think what's worked for me is when I went home, I had the support of a personal coach that I could ring every day, and also attend support meetings in my local area every 2 weeks.
Oh, wow.
Whereas with the speech therapy, you don't get that kind of support. It's only 1 hour a session every week.
Right. Now, you said that you went to your first Maguire program in 2008, so you've been to more than one?
Yeah. I think I've been to about 7 or 8 courses since then.
Oh, my.
I had to do it in the UK because the courses in Ireland were fully booked up until 2010.
Oh, wow. So whereabouts in the UK do you have to travel to?
I had relations in Manchester, so I traveled over to them. And they drove me down to the hotel in Wigan on the day that I was due to start.
I see. And you said you've been to 7 or 8 courses. Why do you keep going back?
I always do two courses a year, normally February and August. You make really good friends on the courses, and it's like going back to see them as well as working on your own speech and helping the other people that's only doing their course for the first time.
I see. So it kind of sounds like it serves two purposes then, both like a refresher or a maintenance for your speech, and also an opportunity to connect with really special friends that you've made along the way.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really important. Have there been a lot of women in the courses that you've taken?
I think there's nearly more men than women.
And did that ever bother you or affect you at all?
No, because I didn't really care. I just wanted to get my speech under control.
So do you feel like you have your speech under control now?
Some days, like today, my speech can be very strong. And other days it's not so good, but I have to really slow back speaking then and include the pause and then a bit of deliberate disfluency that we learn on our courses.
I've heard of that. I'm familiar with the McGuire program from having talked to other women that have participated and greatly benefited from. We call it voluntary stuttering over here, and I do that sometimes myself, because it just seems to give us more control sometimes, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's amazing how well it slows you down. And when you're only speaking a few words per breath, you have total control over those words that you speak.
Now, do you ever, along with, I think you called it deliberate disfluency, do you ever advertise to people that you're meeting for the first time that you stammer?
Yeah, I do use deliberate disfluency sometimes in those situations. I used to find using deliberate disfluency very tough. It's only in the last year that I've started using it more. Probably because I was very sensitive around that area.
It's kind of like making yourself really vulnerable, right?
It's like you're trying your best not to stammer, and then doing deliberate disfluency, you're doing it on purpose.
It's almost it almost seems quite contrary, doesn't it?
Yeah, but in the last year, I've learned the benefits of doing it too.
From doing it and practicing it on your own or from involvement in another course?
No, practicing it out when I'm making contacts, like just ordering food or something in a shop.
Mm-hmm.
And as well, I've started including a little bit with family.
Mm-hmm. Mm. So going back to your work with the young children, how does being a woman who stammers impact that? Do you find that you stammer more or less around the kids, or do you find that you really have to concentrate on your techniques?
When I'm in work, speaking to the children, I rarely stammer.
Mm-hmm.
But I still need to be using my technique.
Mm-hmm.
The cost of breathing. The kids often get me to read them stories too. And I very seldom stammer when reading to them.
Why do you suppose that is?
Little kids don't judge you, I think. But there's something about me being able to read and read quite eloquently compared to speaking. I think it's because the words are down on paper and I'm not saying them from my head.
Mm. That's interesting because I'm the complete opposite. I can speak quite fluently when I am just speaking off the top of my head, and I don't have a script that I have to rely on. But when I'm reading somebody else's words, I find that I actually stutter much more, and I think it's because I can't change any of the words. So I find it much easier to speak extemporaneously, as is known in Toastmasters, which, by the way, you're involved in Toastmasters as well, right?
Yeah, I joined Toastmasters, I think, in January 2010, and I did my first speech in April.
And what got you involved with that? I mean, why did you decide that you wanted to join Toastmasters?
Well, a lot of people from the Maguire program do join to simply push out their comfort zones and challenge themselves.
Mm-hmm. And what did you give your first speech about?
My first speech was titled Me and My Stammer.
Oh, wow, great. And how did it go?
It went pretty well. Before I give a speech, I always rehearse it loads of times. That gives me practice then to keep on saying the words that I find challenging.
Mm-hmm.
So then, on the night, I rarely get stuck, or if I do, it's only a very small bit.
Mm-hmm. And did you deliver the speech from like your notes, or did you deliver it just from memory?
From my memory, I learn all my speeches off. But I don't sit down and learn them. It's just from reading over them constantly and practicing the words, I just kind of learn it that way.
Wow, that's great. I'm always so excited to hear that other people, particularly women, find Toastmasters and choose to join, because it really does help build your confidence and your courage with public speaking, and as you said, pushing outside of the comfort zones. What's one of the best things from Toastmasters that you've learned so far?
Just that you can go at your own pace. There is no one at all judging you there or expecting you to be excellent or even to constantly keep giving speeches. Everything's at your own pace, and you just get encouraged all the way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's nice. It's nice to find an organization like that's available for everybody, and that also welcomes people who stammer. What's been your club's reaction to you being a member with a stammer? I mean, did they accept you immediately with open arms?
Yeah, they were all very welcoming when I first joined.
Mm-hmm.
And they kept setting me little challenges, like reading out the mission statement at the start, or doing the A counter, or evaluations.
Mm-hmm. What do you think of that A counter role?
I'm pretty good at counting all those A's and ums and as, because we're not allowed to do those on our course.
Right.
They can be considered as a trick.
Right.
So on the night in Toastmasters, when I was doing that role, I counted every one of them. I was really paying attention for them, because I had been aware of that from our course. And the total number that I counted was, I think, 125 or something.
Oh my gosh.
In the space of 2 hours.
Oh my goodness. Isn't that amazing that, you know, people that don't stutter still have so many areas that need improvement in their speech? So it's not just people who stutter that need to work on their on our speech. It's everybody.
Yeah.
So you said you've done 2 speeches so far?
No, I've done 4 speeches so far.
Oh, great. So you're up to number 5, which, let me see if I can remember. Is number 5 body language?
Yeah, number 5 is my next one, and that includes your body movement, hand gestures, facial expressions, and all that.
Yeah, I have a pretty good memory. Yeah. Are you planning to do that one soon?
Yeah, I want to be ready, though, before I do it.
Mm-hmm.
I know that I need to be practicing it here, because I only started doing a few movements and gestures in my last speech.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas before, I never used them at all.
Yeah. Sometimes it's hard to focus on hand gestures and moving away from the podium or the lectern a little bit, because at least in my case, I have to find that I really have to concentrate on doing that and remembering that that's also a part of making a good presentation. And sometimes I have to remind myself to actually do that, you know, smile, especially if I'm a little nervous, or remember that, you know, eye contact and looking around the room, those are all important parts of speaking.
Yeah, the eye contact with the audience and the top table is one of the most important ones.
Now, what do you see as your long-term goal? You shared that you're 25, so you're still a young person. You got out of college a couple years ago. You're working with young children, and you're involved in Toastmasters. It sounds like you're preparing yourself for some big opportunity. What do you see yourself doing in say 5 or 10 years, or what would you like to be doing?
Well, I would still like to work with children. I haven't really thought about what else, but maybe to have more of make the Maguire technique more automatic to me, that I wouldn't need to think about it constantly when I do speak.
Have you ever considered, like, you know, becoming a coach yourself for other people that stammer?
On the Maguire program, I did go for the coaching last year. I passed the written exam, but I need to go back and repeat the oral exam. So maybe next year or the year after.
Oh, great, great! Because it sounds like you've benefited so much personally from your experiences. It sounds like you'd be a great mentor for other people.
Yeah, and to give something back into the program too for all the help that I've received so far.
Yeah, giving back is important. What's the perception in Ireland of people who stammer? I mean, how are people generally received or treated in your country that stammer?
I don't think stammering was made aware that much, and therefore people didn't know how to respond to it. I often get, not anymore because I have it under fairly good control, but before the Maguire program, I often got laughed at, even by adults. During college, I worked in a supermarket part-time, and I was on checkouts. And I was serving some customer, and I was saying the total of how much her shopping costs, and I got stuck. And she just laughed into my face.
Oh, gosh. How did you react?
I was hurt, but I just kept it all in till I finished work and got home. But it was a few weeks earlier that I had filled out the application form to do a course on the Maguire program. So I was just thinking the sooner I get on McGuire course, the better.
Do you think it's a problem for young people in Ireland, children and teenagers who stammer? Is there a lot of teasing and ridicule, or have you not heard too much about that?
You do get teased in school. When my stammer got worse, when my stammer became noticeable around the age of 6 or 7, when I just started school, basically, I was getting teased for it, and that made me even worse, which affected the stammer more. So, yeah, and that carried on right through secondary school, too. So, yeah, there is a lot of teasing that you get.
Do the schools ever address it?
They try, but there's not much they can do when the kids don't do it when the teachers are there.
Yeah, I guess kids are kids everywhere, because it's like that here too. The kids will wait until the teachers have turned their back, or they'll wait until it's recess or break time, and that's when they'll strike and make fun of somebody with a difference, not just stuttering, but you know, any difference that a kid might have. It's tough to be a kid and feel like you're not, you know, that you don't fit in, or feel like you're not quote unquote normal. It's hard, and it can really have a big effect on self-esteem, huh?
Yeah. You having a stammer, anyway, you always tend to hold back on doing certain things due to fear. It's just, there's so much fear built up inside you that even the simplest of tasks you wouldn't do, or you'd try to get someone to do it for you.
Yeah. Did growing up with a stammer, did that affect you as far as like so socializing, making friends, dating?
Yeah, definitely. I wasn't really one for socializing, and I did find it really hard to make friends simply because I wouldn't talk, and they just thought that I wasn't interested or just didn't want to talk to them, so they just passed me by.
Yeah. Is it different now that you've been involved with self-help and support? Do you feel more confident and able to socialize?
Yeah, you do feel confident, but you're still aware that your stammer's always there, and it could trip you up at any time. Plus, before the McGuire program, I never really made any calls whatsoever.
Do you do that a lot now?
Well, yeah, I had to do it when I came off the program, because if I wasn't calling, my coaches, they'd be phoning me.
Oh. They'd be getting on your case, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I believe the way that we met is we came across each other on Facebook through one of the stuttering groups that are on there. So I see that you're very actively involved in social media and communicating with lots of different people through that group, Stuttering Arena. How did you get involved with that?
One of the coaches from the UK actually sent me a request to join the stuttering arena. Before then, I had never heard of it. And it's only in the last month or 2 months that I've joined it.
Oh, okay. God, I thought you've been involved in it for quite a while because it seems like you're so active.
No, it was only about 2 months ago.
And have you talked to anybody from that group like this via Skype, or has it all been just like texting or emailing back and forth?
I just had a quick Skype call with two different people on there. The other two people are women, and they still have to get their Skype sorted first.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Well, I think Skype is one of the greatest things that's come about as far as technology goes, because it's given us the opportunity to do this, reach out and talk with people all across the world, and particularly for us women who stutter, because we are a minority within a minority. I think it's just so useful to be able to talk to each other and hear each other and listen to other people who stammer, because it really helps us to feel like we're not so alone. So you're going to be doing such a great service for other people who are going to listen to this conversation. You're really inspiring, and I'm so happy that you wanted to do this chat with me. How are you feeling about what we've done so far?
Feeling pretty good so far.
Were you a little nervous?
Yeah, because this is the first time I've done anything like this before.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, there's no way that I think anybody's going to be able to tell, because you sound so confident and very, very assertive. And if you were nervous at all, it was gone by within the first minute of our conversation. You've really done a great job. And, as we wind down, I just want to ask you, what advice would you give to other people who stammer, especially women or young girls or teenagers who are just coming to terms with it? You know, from your experience and from your journey, what advice or words of wisdom would you pass along to others?
I would say to them to never give up. There's always some help out there that's most suitable for them. And I think at the end of the day, it makes you a stronger person.
Stuttering makes you a stronger person?
I think it's all the stuff that you have to go through, what you've got, a stammer makes you work, makes you a stronger person.
Mm-hmm.
Like all the things you have to encounter daily and try your best to cope with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with you. I think any time that a person faces some type of challenge or adversity in our life, when we're able to not necessarily overcome it, because I don't think we overcome stammering. I think we have to actually just figure out ways to manage it or make room for it. But I think in the ways that we do figure out to manage it, I agree with you. I think it makes us stronger people, and I think it also makes us more compassionate towards other people, perhaps that also deal with some type of a difference. Would you agree?
Yeah, you do feel much. You do end up being a stronger person too, because it is tough on a daily basis for people that do stammer. Mm-hmm. And recently I've come across a poem that I read, or that kind of thing, if I'm having a bad day. It's called Don't Quit Poem. And when you type in the Don't Quit Poem into the Google search engine, it'll come up. And that poem is just has really lovely words throughout the poem, and it helps you not to give up and to keep carrying on, even if you've had a bad day or a bad situation.
You know, I think I've heard of that poem. Is that by Edgar Guest?
I'm not sure of the author. I think he said there was no known author for it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I think I've heard of that. But in any event, since you suggested Googling it, I will definitely Google it and find it and attach it to the show notes for this episode. And I'd also like to attach a link to an article that you were featured in some time ago. I remember seeing it when you posted it on the Facebook group. Can you tell me about that quickly? How you got to be interviewed for a media article?
It was last year when I just inquired about doing an interview with our local newspaper. I told them what I wanted to be interviewed on, and they accepted it then, and I went down to the office that morning and got interviewed.
Wow, that must have been a huge step for you.
That was one of the biggest things that I did since I joined the program.
Was it printed in your local newspaper?
Yeah. It got printed in the paper, but it was only recently that I went back to try find it on the newspaper website. Mm-hmm. And when I came across it, then I posted it to the Facebook page.
How did that make you feel to see yourself in print?
Kind of like that it was somebody else they were talking about and not me.
Well.
But I was a bit nervous going in for that interview as well, but after the first few sentences, it just went by fast.
Yeah, like this has been yeah, just an amazing conversation, and the time has just flown by. But I want to just say thank you, Janet, for being so honest and sharing your story with us. You have come such a long way in a short time, and I'm so glad that we had this chance to get to know each other.
Yeah, it was the... good getting... it was good being able to talk to you too.
Yeah. Well, you're very inspiring, and I feel very confident that this episode is going to touch a lot of lives. So thank you again.
You're very welcome.
And this has been Women Who Stutter, Our Stories.